folks. Hey, I got great news for you, folks. We have more evidence of the crimes of the deep state. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, we have the idea that all of these people are doing bad things, but if only we had some evidence. If only we had, I don't know, text messages or, you know, the evidence of where the dossier came from that first inspired the FISA court warrants. If only we had all of that evidence and a little bit more. Maybe we need a little bit more evidence. Maybe 10 years of just an overwhelming amount of evidence. It's not enough. So the good news is we have more evidence, folks. More evidence of more crimes committed by the same people about the same topics over and over again. We've got more evidence, folks. Aren't you so excited? Let's go to clip number 6. This is Solomon describing the bombshell revelation about, did you know James Comey was leaking information to the press? What? Oh, my goodness. This is the first time hearing about this. Let's watch.
Here. Yeah. It is a worthwhile read. I'll let you sum it up, and then I want your conclusion on what you're finding here, because to me it's very damning.
Well, what you find out is that James Comey decided not to work through the FBI press office when he wanted to change the narrative in Washington, burnish his reputation against attacks from Democrats, and try to sully Donald Trump's reputation. If you remember, Democrats were mad that James Comey let out of the bag just before the election that there might be some new evidence in the Hillary Clinton email scandal. Hillary blamed Comey for throwing the election. She blamed the Russians for throwing elections. She blamed everybody but herself for throwing the election for her. But Comey was trying to rehabilitate that. And so he had an intermediary, a Columbia law professor by the name of Daniel Richmond, who the FBI confirmed and interviewed. And Richmond said, yes, I used my relationship with a New York Times reporter named Michael Schmidt. He's one of the authors of the Pulitzer Prize winning package that President Trump is now suing over. And my goal was to improve negative stories about James Comey and to set a narrative, i.e., set the Russia collusion narrative. This guy worked around the official channels of the FBI press office. And at one point, the FBI noted, you met with James Comey. He gave you access to classified information. A short while later, you had a conversation with that New York Times reporter, and he ends up reporting something that appears to be classified. Did you do it? And he gives, I think, perhaps the most famous denial people will remember since Bill Clinton says it depends what the meaning of the word is when he tried to obfuscate whether he had an affair with Monica Lewinsky. He says, I can say, I don't think I confirmed the information. I can say with a discount that I didn't give him the classified information. With a discount means you got to give me some room. It's an extraordinary moment. The FBI clearly had strong suspicions that this was a potential backdoor for information, maybe classified information, to get out to the media with James Comey's fingerprints on it. And they didn't go much further. They didn't put Comey before the grand jury, that we can tell. They didn't appear to put this gentleman, Daniel Richmond, before the grand jury. And like Adam Schiff, as we told you last night, here they have an eyewitness whistleblower who said, I was in the room when he authorized leaks of intel. These end up being a dead end again. And it's another reminder of a dual system of justice that the Justice Department had the last 6 years. These are documents that were never given to Jim Jordan. Jim Jordan confirmed that to me today. And we're just learning 8 years later, because of what Kash Patel turned over, that the FBI had all the evidence of how the false narrative of Russia collusion was spread across this country to the detriment of voters, to the detriment of President Trump's first campaign, and they did nothing about it.
It's a credit to the FBI. It's a credit to Kash Patel. It's a credit to the people that are involved in sharing this information now with the public. Do you see legal jeopardy here?
I think if Pam Bondi goes the grand jury route, that these are people that are going to be hauled before the grand jury. I want to remind people, most classified information statutes have a 5-year statute of limitations, but there is a provision that extends it to 10 years if it's willing and knowing. And there is some pretty clear evidence of a strong apparatus put in place to make these leaks occur, according to the FBI documents. I think a grand jury could go back and try to compel testimony and find out if it rises to the level of criminality. Tomorrow, though, I think we're going to take people on a new destination, which is how often did the FBI get blocked in trying to investigate Hillary Clinton corruption at the Clinton Foundation? You're going to be shocked by the answer.
So, again, I still didn't even get there. Like, the FBI knew. No, the FBI was doing it. What do you mean the FBI knew? They did it. They were the ones doing it.
You just saw an ad for methylene blue. Tell people the short-term effect and then now the long-term effect.
Yeah, it gives you a good energy boost. I use it before I work out. So if I'm going to be doing kettlebell workouts, I do some methylene blue about a half hour before. Gives you mental focus. I don't crash afterwards. That's good stuff. I need some more.
How fast did it kick in?
About 15, 20 minutes. I take about a half hour before my workout.
And then you're saying you're almost out of the bottle. Was that 3 weeks ago, a month ago?
Something like that. You give me the liquid and the pills, too.
You're almost out of both?
Yeah, I'm almost out of both.
Oh, my goodness. Well, all right. I'll give you more. Right. For the audience, we can't give it to everybody. We need your support, theoxygensword.com. For me personally, the first week I got on it, I actually started to hurt myself because the workouts were so crazy. My trainer goes, dude, what's going on? Like 3 days into it. I go, I don't know.
I like it better than doing like a five-hour energy shot because those will make you crash afterwards. This doesn't have the crash.
See that? No crash.
Right.
If you'll just try it, you'll be hooked, and we can fund the operation. It's a win-win. Now's the time. Get the methylene blue, bare minimum, theoxygensword.com.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, folks. We again just have so much to talk about and so many videos to get into. But I want to talk a little bit more about what's going on in the UK. Because it's, it's a symbol, it's something to look for as what the future of America will be if we don't get a handle on things. That is, we don't wrest control back from the elite that are doing all of this on purpose. Would actually be extremely easy to do. And we see the way that Trump is seeming to try to get a handle, at least on the crime situation. We'll return, of course, to the, it's like this stuff. I guess I should get into this. Maybe people don't know about it. Maybe they haven't heard about this stuff. Gateway Pundit, declassified memos reveal Comey's secret media mole leaked classified information to the New York Times to push for special counsel to investigate Trump and Russia hoax. And you got John Solomon going, the FBI knew about this. You mean the FBI was the one doing this? I mean, what are we talking about here? It's like saying the Unabomber knew about the packages being sent. Well, he was the one sending them. The FBI was the one doing that. I don't get how it's being phrased. And again, it's just being treated like it's news. We've known this forever. So, hopefully something comes of this. Like, I really have a hard time continuing to report on more evidence for the same crimes that we've been reporting on for literally 10 years at this point. The same people that we know have been involved since the beginning. I mean, is it news that Comey was leaking? This is an established fact from the last time he was placed under oath and questioned by Congress, which was, I think, during the Trump administration, the first Trump administration. Where he's like, well, I didn't leak anything. I simply provided information to a friend of mine who happened to be a journalist. It's like, so what this actually says, here's the story from Mario Knopfler on X. Declassified, Comey ordered FBI to help write New York Times hit piece. The newly declassified FBI documents reveal investigators discovered the FBI Office of Public Affairs, quote, was told to assist the New York Times with the April 2017 article. The document states FBI employees, including Comey, either directed or otherwise authorized U.S. official assistance to the New York Times. The FBI did not coordinate or brief DOJ leadership or DOJ OPA about this assistance. As part of the FBI's assistants, Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, were interviewed by the New York Times in the presence of DOJ OPA officials, even though AG Lynch had left the department and DOJ regulations called for DOJ OPA coordination in cases of media contact with the New York Times. The document confirms what many suspect about FBI media coordination during the Trump-Russia investigation era. So you have the actual document here. Investigators learned that the FBI Office of Public Affairs, OPA, was told to assist the New York Times with the April 2017 article According to interviews with FBI employees, Comey either directed or otherwise authorized FBI's official assistants to the New York Times. FBI OPA did not coordinate or brief DOJ leadership or DOJ OPA about this. As part of the FBI's assistance, FBI officials Peter Strzok and Lisa Page were interviewed by the New York Times concerning this article. And, of course, they were allowed to plant information in this. So, I don't know. I mean, yes, well, wonderful. It's wonderful to see the same crime having more evidence put forward. Are you telling me Lisa Page and Peter Strzok were acting outside of the confines of their official duties? What? I can't believe it. Oh my gosh. You're telling me Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, who were caught texting each other in black and white, basically a full confession. It's our insurance policy. We're going to stop Trump from getting elected through this Russia investigation. I mean, when were those text messages released? 1942? Like, we've had them forever. I'm pretty sure we've had these text messages since 2017 or so, right? Something like that.
Well, I think that, like, the Justice Department and the FBI and everybody who would prosecute it, probably just waiting for the statute of limitations to run out. That's probably it.
That makes sense. So they shouldn't be allowed to do that, right? I mean, that's not what the statute of limitations is for. That's not what it's about. That should not be an option for the Justice Department. So the Justice Department commits crimes and then refuses to prosecute those crimes that they committed. Yeah, obviously. So I don't know. Maybe we need something above the DOJ. I don't know. Some sort of Praetorian Guard, some sort of imperial court that can rain judgment down upon the DOJ. All right, should we get into the UK or? I mean, I just have so many dang headlines and videos. Let's go to clip 15. Because this is Matt Baker. He's talking about San Diego, but it's just a small slice of life, local interest story that, of course, is simply indicative of the wider trend of civilizational collapse because we're being ruled by incompetent morons. In fact, we'll go to this clip of Matt Baker. Then I'm going to get another clip of the D.C. police chief literally not knowing what the phrase chain of command means. Somebody posted that with a quote. I don't know if it was Aristotle or Plato or something. But it's, you know, basically the worst curse you can be under is to be governed by people stupider than you. And we're being governed mostly by people with average or below average intelligence that are also just hostile foreigners, admittedly, by their own words. But it's hard to tell. It's hard to tell sometimes what is malice and what is stupidity. At a certain point, it doesn't really matter. Right? Some I'm going through with my kids right now. You know, sometimes, you know, my son hurts my daughter by throwing something at her head on purpose. It's like, that's bad. Sometimes he's just not paying attention and spinning around and throwing toys at random and a toy hits his sister in the head. And I'm trying to explain to him, it doesn't matter if you, and he's like, but I didn't mean to. It's like, it doesn't matter. You hit her in the head with the thing. So you got to go apologize. Okay. So, you know, it doesn't matter if it's on purpose and malice or incompetence and an accident. The outcome is exactly the same. So it should be treated exactly the same. And whatever punishment or reward should be exactly the same. So here we have Matt Baker reporting on San Diego local government. Just insane amounts of waste, insane amounts of manipulation and deception committed against their own people, robbing their own people blind for no discernible reason. You tell me, stupidity or malice? Personally, I don't care. Let's go to Matt Baker.
Matt Baker, Kearney Mesa, Montgomery Field at the Trash Can Apocalypse. Now, whether you know it or not, San Diego, we had free trash pickup for over 100 years. It was something that the city prided itself on. But now, in a previous year, they had put a deceptive measure tricking the public into paying for the trash now. But not only are they going to do that, they're going to trash all of these perfectly good trash cans and melt them down, supposedly, and recycle them in an effort to save money and line their pockets. And not only are they going to be destroying the old trash cans, they're going to be making the individual homeowners purchase brand new trash cans on a three-tiered system. So they're going to have a tiny trash can, a medium trash can, and a huge trash can, which is actually the same trash can you were already getting. But don't worry, they're also going to add a nice little RFID chip to each trash can just so they can keep track of each trash can. Isn't that nice? Just to put it in perspective, there's going to be trashing and burning and melting down so that they can save the environment and line their Just so you know, it's really important to get this out because we actually did have a small reprieve and there was a lawsuit filed and for an injunction to stop the payments going out for these new trash cans. However, even if we do succeed, we'll still have to pay $165 million for the total of 400,000 trash cans, which are already contracted to be built at a total of, how much was it, Luke?
$162.50 each
trash can.
Again, just absolutely insane. Homeowner challenging San Diego trash drop fee request for a quick trial. Seek injunction. Instead, the plaintiffs had previously asked for an expedited September trial. The stipulation presented Tuesday replaces that request. Again, I mean, are they just stupid? Are they just incompetent? How do you waste $165 million on trash cans and change the rules and take something that was provided for free and then start charging for it and then not even provide it in the first place? It's just, what are we doing? What are we doing here, folks? We're watching America slip through our fingers out of the sheer incompetence. And again, to me, it always just goes back to the incompetence of the voters themselves. That, like, how do you keep voting for these people? Why do you keep these people in charge? Why do you keep voting for these people, man? It is not good. It's really, really not good. People like this. Clip number 14 here. This is Cincinnati, and this goes back to the attack from, what was it, last week? 2 weeks ago? You know, the jazz festival. There was a Cincinnati jazz festival. There were people on the streets, and a group of black guys teamed up and started beating the crap out of white guys and then slammed the white woman's head into the pavement. And then nobody called the cops. People basically mostly just filmed it. And only because of the viral video that lit a fire under some of the Cincinnati officials to actually arrest these people. Because, hey, if you're a city, you're going to want to have people going out and spending money or your city's going to collapse. And if people instead are beaten half to death for trying to walk around in their own neighborhood, then you're going to collapse as a city. So, like, literally out of survival, they were just, like, forced to do something to arrest these guys. And yet, at the same time, they came out blaming the victims, blaming racism, saying actually they said the N-word, as if that's an excuse at all. And now they've gone, like, completely off the deep end. And a lot of this stuff broke yesterday evening. It was just like a litany of things. It was like one thing after another. And this one might have been the most egregious. But I'll show you some other stories that sort of correlate with this and correspond with this. Let's go to clip number 14 here. These are black community leaders talking about this vicious and unprovoked attack against white people because they're white by a bunch of black people who almost killed them. The sixth one was just arrested yesterday, I believe. But here's what the black leadership in Cincinnati thinks is the real issue here. Let's watch.
Six individuals were charged with aggravated assault, which is a felony. The white guy incited or urged six other people to commit a felony.
The method by which this situation has been handled raises serious questions as to whether there's bias involved in the investigation. It also brings into question the possibility of a lack of integrity and whether there's something else to hide.
I mean, we want to talk about victim blaming. I mean, they literally just said that the victim of the beating is at fault because he incited six felonies. So he should be charged for being beaten up because he incited six felonies. So he said words. He was then attacked for those words. And they're saying he should be charged for the words that he said because apparently black people are not human beings with consciousness who can decide what to do. They don't have free will. They're like animals, right? And so if they hear a word or if you disrespect them or if you step on their shoe, it's not that they have a choice to make where they can determine, is this something worth going to jail for? Is this really worth, you know, killing a person over? Or are these words, and I'm a human being and I can handle it, and sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never hurt me. I can choose whether or not to commit violence or not to commit violence. They don't have that option, according to the black leadership in Cincinnati. I'm not the one saying this. I think it's the black people that should be arrested and charged for beating a man up. The only possible reason that wouldn't be the case is if those people are literally incapable of controlling themselves, like incapable, like, yeah. Are they not able to control that? Now, I can only imagine that the claim is that the guy said the N-word. Because apparently that's all it takes. Because apparently that word, overrides the consciousness of black people. And they just descend into a feral state. And they can't be held accountable for that. I mean, obviously that's not the argument she's making, but that is the conclusion you'd have to come to. That's the conclusion you would have to come to. This guy incited violence against him. And I think the way that would make sense is if, like, you know, it's some YouTube prank channel where they really are just deliberately going out to try to get people to attack them. And it's like, okay, you wanted to be attacked. You're filming it. You know, you can't be doing that. But if somebody says something that somebody else doesn't like, and the second person beats up the first person for saying the thing, you cannot then say the person saying stuff is at fault because he incited the other person. Because the other person is a human being that's an adult that is responsible for their own actions, even if they hear words they don't like. Because they're not babies. They're black people. They're not children. Yeah, they begged for that beatdown. Dim Cincinnati city councilwoman claims white couple beaten by black mob deserved it. They deserved it. They were asking for it. For being white and not showing the proper deference to their black betters. So they were lynched in the street. I mean, sure, you know, Jaquan sucker punched the guy in the back of the head and slammed his head into the concrete and stood up and started stomping on his face while another person came up and drove her heel into his stomach. And sure, you know, the guy had to spend a while in the hospital. We don't even have, you know, confirmation of anything he may have said or not said. All we know is the outcome of the brutal and vicious assault. But are you really going to charge Jaquan with assault just because he
brutally assaulted somebody, he's a black person and he heard a word he doesn't like. So really, it's the person who said the word. It's their fault. I mean, that's the argument they're, unless I'm crazy, is that not the argument they're making? They're blaming the victims for inciting an assault against them. So what should they have done is the question. How did this whole conflict get started? Was there a back and forth of words exchanged? Or were the black people just totally silent, totally peaceful? This white guy comes up and is just like, what's up, N-words? And they're all just like, chimp mode activated. And they all just like go insane. And then they wake up from a fog like, what? Where am I? Why am I covered in blood? What happened? I was just sitting peacefully. I was enjoying an ice cream sandwich on the park bench when everything blacked out and I woke up and there's a guy on the ground. What's happening here? Like, that's how they want you to think this went down. It's just, it's egregious. It's insane. And they're actually treating black people like they can't control themselves, don't have free will, and can't choose whether or not to attack somebody. They have no choice. They're forced to do it by the words the guy spoke. Is maybe the guy's a magician? Have we considered maybe he's a hypnotist? No, we don't know. We don't know how the conflict started. Maybe he did mind control the black people to attack himself. It's possible, okay? It'd have to be for him to be at fault for being beaten by a mob. So, I don't even want to call this a lynching because most lynchings actually had a crime underneath it. But for all intents and purposes, it was a lynching. And now you have the, you know, politicians basically going, hey, this was street justice. And maybe the guy who was beaten up, he should be charged. I think he should be charged as well. Because how dare he say something that got him beat up? I mean, again, I guess I could just like mention this story and move on, but like, I feel like we don't give enough attention to stuff like this. It just pops up and people go, wow, that's ridiculous. Anyway, did you see what happened over here? It's like, guys, we've got mobs of black people beating up white people because of their race. And then the black politicians coming out and saying that white guy should have known his place and it's his fault. And now these poor, innocent black men are being charged with felonies because of this white guy's incitement of them. I mean, you want to talk about idiocracy. You want to talk about just pure inversion of everything. Here we are. Here we are, folks. So not to belabor it, not to beat a dead horse, but like, is anybody else covering this? Is that clip being played on Fox News over and over again? Or they just make these statements and everybody sort of rolls their eyes and moves on? Don't roll your eyes at this. This, like, do you think it's insane? Have you seen what's going on in the UK? Have you seen what's going on in Germany? This is what happens. A 15-year-old girl gets gang raped by Muslims. And she says, you know, she calls them scumbags, and she gets arrested and gets more jail time than the guys who raped her. So, like, don't roll your eyes at this. This isn't funny. This isn't silly. This is a projection of what is to come. You will be charged for being a victim.
Every guest I have had in studio in the last 6 months, I've given our medical-grade USP methylene blue tube. I don't even tell them what it's going to do. I just say, here. Take this, see what happens. Within 15 to 30 minutes, every guest says they've gotten energy like they've never experienced. Clarity, focus. It's like a fog has lifted. Their critical thinking goes to the next level. And that's what the science shows it does in our cells. It's not a stimulant, but it has that effect because it electrochemically turns up the literal electrochemical electricity in the body. And so he was here a few months ago, didn't know what it was, known me for a long time, said, sure, he'll take it. He heard Kennedy talk about it. Orca Jr. He took it, and it was so game-changing. In the last few months, he ran out of the bottle I gave him, so he wanted more. And the first thing he wanted was to take some more before we even went live on air. That's how amazing this is. You want to do the plug, and I appreciate this.
I do. I came in
because you came in saying, I want more methylene blue, and then I looked over when you went on the air. You'd already slurped some down. Your mouth was blue. I said, you're Papa Smurf. So, Patrick Byrne.
How much is the correct amount to put in? About that much?
Yeah. I mean, Kennedy does three droppers. This is really strong.
You gave me some last time. I think you gave it on air. You totally feel the difference. I used the bottle you gave me. It's great. It totally makes it. You can feel it. It just keeps your energy level up and plateaued without bonks. So I love it. I used the bottle you gave me, and I came back to Austin just to pick up this pump.
Well, you can always get it at thealexjonesshow.com. It will certainly give you all you want. We also have the capsules, but we have the strongest medical grade. It's super good for you. It cleans out your mitochondria. Most people get instant energy, like 99% of people, but it's the workout. It's what it does for your skin, your libido. So you've been on it a few months.
I just had that one bottle, but...
And you're saying no letdown. That's the best part. It's not an amphetamine. It's not a speed, but it feels like that.
It's throughout. I see RFKs on it. Yeah. I just used up that bottle, and so for a couple of weeks, I had this great energy, but it's not speed. It's not caffeine. It's nothing like that. It's doing something else for you. So I really...
Well, it skips three levels of the oxygenation process in the cells. It's just next level. It's incredible. And they've suppressed it. And my medical doctor 6 years ago said, get on it. And I said, get USP grade. It didn't do anything. And then our sponsor got this super strong one. I'm like, oh, let me try it. Whoa. I mean, it funds the operation, folks. But I'm telling you, if you haven't gotten our USP grade, real USP grade, Ultimethylene Blue, theoxygenshore.com, you are missing out. It is so good for you. 99% of people, it's more than that. Like, I've given it to like 400 people, maybe two or three didn't feel it. Some get totally freaked out that they're going crazy. So talk to your physician first. Take a very low dose the first time. You can't take it on SSRIs and other things. It is amazing. TheAlexJonesShow.com. So,
yeah, it's not psychosomatic. It's not psycho. You feel it. You feel it.
Well, I didn't tell you what you were going to feel. How fast did it kick in, and what did you feel?
I felt it by the time, the end of the show. By the time I got, the last time I was here, I felt it probably by the end of the show or by the time I got my car. You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus. It's probably like why you are as intense as you are, Alex.
It's made me more intense. Well, I was taking full doses at first and then working out so hard that, you know, I had to go.
You look jacked.
Well, I've cut back. The point is, I only take it every 3 days now because... It's crazy. Everything we sell, I want is working and is good. That's what I want. I mean, I'd be like a restaurant. I'm going to serve dog to people. They're not going to come back. But I mean, this thing is the most dramatic, quick acting, and it's good for you. It's just insane. And if I could just get a few more percentage of the audience to buy it, all our problems would be solved. Patrick Byrne was totally blown away by it, as every other guest we've given it to has been blown away.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
By the way, yesterday I covered the very curious video. The very curious video of several Hasidic Jewish gentlemen having a little barbecue in the woods after mutilating the corpse of a deer and burning it on a pallet. And then walking away like it wasn't weird they were doing that. It was very funny. So I uploaded a video of us talking about it and speculating about it. But apparently it's been censored on X. Sensitive content. Now, there was nothing, you know, graphic or sensitive about it. I guess you could vaguely see like it's basically like roadkill. You could see roadkill, basically the equivalent of it. But I don't. I have the feeling that wasn't what caused it to be tagged. But I had people responding saying, Why is this labeled sensitive content? Why is this labeled graphic content for me? Basically showing that you couldn't see it unless you, you know, actually clicked on it and went to it. It wouldn't show up in people's feeds. And so I retweeted that saying, is anybody else getting sensitive content labels on this? Because, you know, when you upload a video, it gives you the option to label it yourself, sensitive content, which you should do if it's, you know, something gory or pornographic, because nobody wants that showing up on their feed all of a sudden. And some people were saying, yes, it says graphic content. Some people were saying it's showing up fine for me. Other people were saying it just says tweet not available. So apparently, and you know, who knows what setting was what, but at least for some people, or maybe in some jurisdictions, you know, maybe people in the UK couldn't see it or something because of the Online Safety Act. I don't really know. It's all speculation at this point. But what I do know is that my very innocuous and, you know, well-meaning investigation into this video is being completely shadow banned and crushed and tamped down on. I didn't even upload the videos. Chris Paul, who's been doing a great job clipping the shows, and I suggest you go and follow him at InfoWars1984. At InfoWars1984. He's been working very hard posting these clips, so please go give him a follow and a share. InfoWars1984 is the handle there on X. And I encourage you to do it too. I mean, honestly, that is such a fantastic and powerful way to help us out. It's absolutely free. And if you're watching the show already, yeah, why not? Why wouldn't you do it? Why wouldn't you just have your screen recorder on or just back up? If you see something you like, it's like, wow, that's what I always say. I say this all the time. Here's Harrison saying it. I'm going to clip it out and put it up on my social. Tag me, tag other people. I mean, you know, there's a way to deal with X. I think a lot of people get frustrated because they just put stuff up but they don't have any followers and they don't tag anybody. And so nobody sees it. You got to play the game a little bit. You got to tag the right people. If you're just starting off on X, comments are where it's at. And especially if you can be first in, first under the gate, you know, follow people that are big and have, you know, a lot of response. And when they tweet something out, have a tweet ready, fired up, be the first in the comments. And people will like you. They'll click your profile. They'll see what else you have to say. There's a game to play. There's a way to play it to increase views. You're not going to start off getting a million views on a video. It would have to be a crazy video for that to be the case. So stick at it. You know, keep plugging away. Keep, you know, trying to reach out to people and do some research. If it's something you seriously want to do, you can actually make money with this. And if you get a million views, I think it's a million views a month, and you're whatever it is, confirmed on X, we have the blue check mark. If you pay for whatever the level of premium subscription on X, you can get paid out for that. I think it's a million views a month, and you're then eligible for revenue share. And like some people make thousands of dollars a month just from uploading videos they don't even make. That could be you. You could be doing that. So big shout out to at InfoWars1984. There's a couple other guys that are doing the same. I always try to retweet them. Basically, any clip I see from this show, I try to retweet. And I'll be better at it. I should be encouraging people to follow these accounts on my X. But I'm telling you now, go follow these accounts. Go to my X, see the videos I repost, click the links on their names, and give them a follow. Show them some support. Again, that's the absolute free way that you can engage in a very powerful and effective way in this information war. If, of course, you want to contribute to our efforts and help keep us on air and help keep us in the fight in producing this content, please do go to thealexjonesstore.com. You got a million reasons to do it. Not only are you helping us stay on air, you're helping us, you know, win this fight against the globalists, both in the political sphere as well as, you know, in the courtroom, in our individual battle. But also the products themselves are absolutely fantastic, absolutely the best in the business, and you will appreciate them and come back for more. It would be very stupid of us to sell products that were not effective because we literally rely on return customers. How stupid would we be to sell people bunk, just guaranteeing that, you know, are a customer one time and one time only. No, we want repeat customers. We want people coming back over and over. We want people taking these products and changing their lives and, you know, coming back over and over again. So, of course, the products are the best. Colostrum is our new product, our newest product on thealexjonesstore.com. Bovine Colostrum Plus Cellular Recovery and Defense Matrix. It's up to 50% off right now as an introductory price. I believe it's even higher with the VIP. If you are a VIP member there, you can save 50%. And you can save even more if you, you know, schedule it for regular delivery. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Go there today. Get your Colostrum Plus. See what it can do for you. You know, we always get testimonials about our products. But yesterday was actually Matt, our producer, giving his own testimonial about how it's helped clear up skin conditions for him. It's another one of these things that you might even not know what it can do for you, right? Some of this stuff, you might just think, well, I just have this condition. I am this way, you know. I've always had an achy shoulder, whatever it is. I'm not a doctor. I'm not telling you this is what it's going to do. Just as an example, it's type of thing where you just think, this is the way it is. This is how my body is. This is how the world is, whatever it is. And then you start taking supplements. You're like, wait, I didn't have to live with that. I didn't have to just endure that pain or, you know, suffer that condition. It was actually just a shortage of a particular mineral or supplement or vitamin that I didn't even know I was short on. There's a lot of products like that. Colostrum is one of them. See what it can do for you. Go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. And make sure you're a VIP member to get the maximum amount. I want to go now to a video. I mentioned this yesterday. I didn't get nearly as into it as I should have. But I'm glad that this TikToker, you know, covered it even better, or covered it fully. Basically, Canada, we showed the video of Canada is issuing $20,000 fines for walking in the woods. Okay, now they're predicating this on climate change. They're also saying it's for your safety. They're coming up with lots of reasons. It's about wildfires, all sorts of stuff that they're saying, none of which is actually legitimate, because we have some other goings on. I'm sorry I'm being vague here, but the video will lay it all out for you. But in fact, I'm going to drop a different video in here. We'll go to this video first, because this is a Canadian spokeswoman explaining this insane law that is charging people, fining people $20,000 for merely walking outside. Again, I thought this was a joke when I first saw it. It was a guy filming his son just like walking through a field. And he's like, what I'm doing right now is illegal and I could be fined $20,000 for this. It's like, what? Wait, that's okay. Sure, dude. Sure. Yeah, right. You're being charged $20,000 for walking in the woods. Come on. That can't be true, is it? But no, it's absolutely true. And then we showed the video, I think yesterday or the day before, of the guy actually being fined $20,000. Now, in that case, he like wanted to be, he was like, no, you should fine me. He was like, fine me because I disagree with this law and I want to challenge this law. I can't challenge the law if I don't have standing, and I don't have standing if I haven't been fined. So you need to fine me so that I have standing to go challenge this law behind the fine in the first place. But it is a law. It's on the books and it's being enforced in Canada. But there's some other aspects to it that are making people think that this probably has nothing to do with climate change. Probably has nothing to do with wildfires. Probably has nothing to do with safety in your health. And a lot more to do with resource extraction and population control. So let's go to clip 22 here. This is the Canadian official. You know, basically, the Canadians are outraged that they're being charged $20,000. And they're like, this is stupid. What does this have to do with wildfires? What does this have to do with anything? And so the Canadian government is just coming up with different reasons that they could be implementing this, right? Which makes you, you know, which should make you aware that the reason they're giving for doing this is not the legitimate one. Because they're like, oh, we're going to charge you $20,000 for walking in the woods because people hiking causes wildfires. We're trying to fight wildfires. And people are going, that doesn't make any sense. That's stupid. You shouldn't do that. And they're like, well, then it's about you breaking your leg. And what if you break your leg? And we can't have you breaking your leg in the woods. It's like, okay, so it never was about the wildfires. So why'd you say that in the first place? The point of all of it is, if they're lying, it's for a reason. And the reason is the cover up of the actual purpose of the of the fine, and I'll get to the speculation in just a second. First, clip 22 here is the Canadian government just A-B testing excuses for the law they've already implemented. Let's watch.
Me going for a walk in the woods is going to cause a fire. I can understand why people think that that's ridiculous. But the reality is it's not that you might cause a fire. It's that if you're out there walking in the woods and you break your leg, we're not going to come and get you because we have emergency responders that are out focused on a fire that is threatening the lives of New Brunswickers. And if you take your boat out fishing in a pond in Crown Land and you capsize, we're not going to be able to come and help you out because our first responders are focused on an immediate and serious threat to our province. And so it's the possibility of diverting emergency resources away from where they are really needed.
So like that makes sense on its own. That makes sense on its own. You know, outside of any fines or anything, what she just said, perfectly sensical, right? Sensible, whatever. Canadian man fined $28,872 for walking in woods during wildfire ban. So that, it makes sense to me that it's like, fair warning, everybody. You know, if that's the way this was put, is like, fair warning, our emergency services are at maximum capacity right now. We do not have the manpower to rescue you. Fair warning, be safe out there. Then great, that makes perfect sense to me. I get that. You're fighting a big wildfire. You're potentially saving tens of thousands of lives. You can't be drawing resources away from that to go rescue some idiot that decided to capsize his boat in a lake somewhere. That makes sense, and that's as far as it should go. It should be a warning that you should say, hey, guys, you want to go out in the woods? You're on your own. Do not expect the Canadian government to come rescue you. And then fine. And then if people go out and they break their leg, then they die in the woods, and that was the choice they made. They're free human beings, and they made a bad decision, I guess. But as long as they're aware of the risk and chose to take it, that's on them as far as I'm concerned. If you know that there's no emergency services available, and you go out on a lake, and you capsize, and you drown, what are we supposed to do about that? That was a choice you made, and you have to suffer the consequences. How does it possibly justify $30,000 fines? That's the disconnect. How could it possibly justify 30, like, life-crushing fines for walking in the woods? Okay, so what is this really about? I think we have an answer. And I'm glad this woman put it together for me. Clip number 5. Let's watch.
Let me get this straight. 3 provinces in Canada have banned people from going into the forest because of fire danger. And if you don't comply, you could face up to $150,000 in fines and jail time.
So effective today, new fines will range from $50,000 to $150,000. And imprisonment in default of payment will increase from 3 days to up to 6 months.
A government that can bankrupt you and send you to jail for going into the forest? That doesn't sound like a government that is built to serve you. That sounds like a government that thinks they own you. So when a forest lockdown happens near you, ask yourself, is this for your safety and the climate? Or does it have something to do with lithium mining? You know, the mineral that is used in electric car batteries? That, when it catches fire, takes thousands and thousands and thousands of gallons of water to put out. And let's not forget governments granting corporations the right to mine on public and private lands for the greater good. And they can still mine during the fire restrictions. But what do I know? I'm just a conspiracy theorist.
So very, very, very suspicious that you have these gigantic mining contracts opened and suddenly Canada makes it illegal to walk in the woods. Are they connected? It seems like they are because they're directly correlated to one another. But what do I know? I'm a conspiracy theorist too. We got some more videos to go to. I just dropped in the one I was talking about earlier with the DC police. But I think what I want to do now, let's go to clip number 2 here.
This
This is a great video about, again, another sort of excuse using climate change, using the environment as an excuse to impose on your restrictions, limit your liberty, and slowly but surely boil the water, turn you into a slave before you've noticed. Let's go to clip number two. Now it's happening in Massachusetts. Let's watch.
Massachusetts is quietly pushing a bill that could fundamentally change how Americans are allowed to use their vehicles. Yes, you are hearing that clearly. Senate Bill S-2246, introduced by Senate Majority Leader Cynthia Cream, sets the stage for a future where the government tracks and potentially limits how many miles you can drive each year. This isn't a fringe proposal. It's working its way through the legislature right now, and similar ideas are being tested in other states across the country. This is not a federal law. This is a state law. And at its core, this is not about transportation or emissions. It's about power and control. So what is actually in this bill? The Massachusetts legislation proposes the creation of a new government entity. This is state-based, not federal, that would track every vehicle mile traveled. They're calling it VMT. And to implement these policies to reduce them over time. In other words, less mileage allowed. Now, while the bill doesn't yet impose mileage caps, it does instruct state agencies to create a reasonable pathway to cut how much people drive annually. Translation, a government-mandated limit on personal travel is no longer hypothetical. It's being drafted right now. Now, Bill 2246 in the Senate also outlines coordination with automakers and the use of vehicle inspection data to monitor individual mileage. It even suggests changing to urban planning, encouraging the development of walkable neighborhoods and fewer parking options, all with the goal of getting you out of your car, whether you want to or not.
So again, just completely outrageous and obvious what they're trying to do. I mean, this is not about emissions. The number of reasons that that's a ridiculous claim is infinite. But obviously, this is part and parcel with the C40 City program and the desired, you know, plan of the powers that be to limit your consumption in every possible way. Monitoring and limiting the number of miles that you drive, the number of flights that you take, the amount of meat that you eat, the amount you use your air conditioning. Of course, all of this is ridiculous on the face of it because it's all predicated on the idea that gasoline cars create, you know, extra greenhouse gases. But they ignore the fact that electric cars at this point today in America are coal powered, since the electricity they draw on to charge their batteries come from coal powered power plants for the most part. And of course, that doesn't even get into the excessive pollution that's created in the manufacture of these cars. For example, the lithium strip mining that is likely now taking place in the fire-ravaged sections of Canada. So, I mean, again, just like all of this, the excuses that they're giving are not adequate to explain the laws that are being imposed. So the actual reason behind them is up for question. If you don't know already, but I'll tell you right now, it's about basic control. It's about control. That's all it's ever been about. It's all it's ever been about. It's never been more obvious. The cliche at this point of the, you know, globe-trotting environmentalists like John Kerry or Bill Gates with their fleet of private jets telling you, you know, 20 miles is enough this month for you driving. I mean, it's cliche because it's so egregious and in your face and obvious how hypocritical and deceptive these scumbags are. And how if they believed a single word of what they said, their own behavior would be massively different. Instead, they give themselves outs. They give themselves caveats. In fact, it's exactly their environmental work that puts them above such restrictions, because without them, who would be doing this important work of restricting your flight time or drive time? Is Massachusetts planning to track how much you drive? A new bill sparks debate. Now remember, this is perfectly in line with things that are happening like in the UK, where they're saying every car needs to have a black box installed that can be monitored in real time 24/7 by the government. Okay, that has to do with free speech, because they just want cameras and microphones everywhere to constantly be monitoring everything you say in order to form your social credit score and determine how much carbon allotment you're provided. based on your spiritual worth, according to, you know, their matrix of value. There's a mandate in Massachusetts to drastically reduce emissions. A new transportation bill to get the state there has lit up social media. A new transportation bill to get the state there has lit up. My God. Is everybody retarded? What is this sentence? Am I crazy? Am I having a stroke? A new transportation bill to get the state there has lit up social media. With claims that lawmakers on Beacon Hill want to limit your driving. Does that sentence make sense to you guys? Okay, there's a mandate in Massachusetts to drastically reduce emissions. A new transportation bill to get the state there has lit up social media. Okay, to get to the point that they're drastically reducing emissions. I don't know, man. Maybe we just need to have AI write this stuff. As written, the bill aims to align the state's transportation plans with mandates and goals for the reducing emissions and vehicle miles traveled. It's the latest part of what some opponents concerned that the Commonwealth might track how much you drive. Back in 2021, the state passed a law that requires Massachusetts to reach zero emissions by 2050. Quote, this is not a goal. It's not wishful thinking. It's actually a law. It's actually a law. It's not wishful thinking. I mean, it is impossible to achieve. That's not going to stop them from trying. They have different metrics the state needs to meet or have to comply with. Craney is one of the loudest critics of the bill currently being discussed. Ultimately, what this is about is control and limiting transportation. And if you do need to transport yourself doing public transportation, specifically vehicles, cars, and trucks, what they're trying to do is put mechanisms in place to limit mobility. And of course, that's exactly what it's about. And we know the ultimate goal is to have you not own a car at all. I've said a million times, car ownership is being deliberately crushed, and eventually everybody will have to have electric cars, but we don't have the material or the grid capacity to support every car being electric. So therefore, there won't be that many cars. You'll have about, you know, a quarter of as many cars as you have on the road now, maybe like a tenth as many cars as you have on the road now. Just nobody will own them. And there'll be autonomous driving fleets, probably with some sort of, you know, ownership, stakeholder share, where you can invest in a car and then you get, you know, return on investment as it's used as an Uber. You know, it'll be a whole marketplace, but the ultimate result will be that you can't get anywhere without permission from the state. And that's the ultimate goal for obvious reasons, right? It's not complicated, doesn't take a lot of speculation, especially since they and tell you what they're doing in the first place. Go read the C40 cities promotions. They adopt these ridiculous laws, then they impose them. They do absolutely nothing to help the environment whatsoever. They do restrict your freedoms pretty severely. But we'll be back on the other side with Brandon Weicker to talk about the Ukraine war and the peace summit happening in Alaska. Always has been.
We need funds. We're fighting the globalists at Point Blank Range. And they got a receivership hearing with Judge Guerra Gamble that ran the Texas show trial next week to send the sheriffs here. I get it could be within days next Wednesday to shut us down. And I'm sure we'll get lots of funds then once we're shut down. Be like, oh, God, he really did need help. Oh, yeah. We have been battling and barely surviving. They've turned the internet off here before. They had a fake sale to Bloomberg's front group. Remember all that? And it was because we didn't give up and the crew didn't give up. When I told the crew, no, we're going to beat this, don't go, and I stayed here and slept here a couple times, that we're still here. And because you bought the products, we had enough money for lawyers to go battle it and beat it. Everybody listening needs to get off the fence, get off the bench, get up at the plate, and needs to go become a VIP. $30 a month, see it as a donation. You get $40 each month to spend the store, sales on top of everything, special deals, special offers just to you. It's insane. And then if you really just want to support and you don't want methylene blue or turmeric, you're crazy if you don't, or Ultimate Life Force, the best cardiovascular spike protein detox, everybody should be taking it. And it's the best. Ultimate Life Force is the best cardiovascular, heart health, spike protein detoxer. Every man, woman, and child should take at least one regimen of it, see how you feel. It does dramatic things. We have the strongest turmeric. You should get it. And I got a lot of news to cover. I won't sit here and beat a dead horse, but the news we get out is so powerful, and it's that less than 1% of people that buy stuff at theauctionstore.com that make all this possible. And this fight is your fight. They want us off the air because they want to shut down focal points of organizations that hold the Trump administration's feet to the fire and warn Trump and warn his advisors and have a big effect and big pull, as the administrations have said and as the Democrats have said. They've come after Trump. They've sued Trump. They've had their operatives in there, and they see our stuff everywhere. Step into the zone of history and understand that you are the key. You are the variable. You are the Paul Revere's. You are the resistance. This dog don't hunt without you.